Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked. Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And I guess our last fiction review was kind of a break from all the nonfiction, because Carrie is joining us today with The Divide.
Yes, it's The Divide, American Injustice in the Age of the Wealth Gap.
So it's just a light read.
Yeah, it's a real beach read. It's a page turner.
And I noticed you have a copious amount of flags.
Well, the author is Matt Taibbi, I wanted to say, who is a writer for Rolling Stone, and he's very funny and good, and I've been reading him for years. Yes, so I flagged this book when I was going through it in preparation for the podcast, because I wanted to make a note of all the places where something made me angry. And as you can see...
And viewers, let's count. There are 10 tabs. And that's just in the first, quarter of the book.
Yeah, I think this is the first... No, I'm onto the second chapter now. So I just started this book today, but it was really good. So I decided I'd like to talk about it. The subtitle is American Injustice in the Age of the Wealth Gap. It's basically about income inequality, but not just income inequality, but inequality in the dispensation of justice in the country.
So
the financial crisis. Did you know there's only one bank that was ever prosecuted criminally for the financial crisis?
I do, but that's because I share an office with you, and she was very angry.
Well, Leslie, did you know there was
only
one bank?
I did not, so tell us which bank.
Okay, this bank, you might think, oh, maybe it was like Citibank or
Wells Fargo
or any number of other banks. But no, you would be incorrect. It was a very small bank called Abacus Bank in New York City. It was a bank that served the Chinese immigrant community, owned and operated by immigrants.
Wait, it was Abacus, like the old math counter?
Yeah, it was called Abacus, as in the old math counter. And the highest paid person that was under trial in this prosecution made $90,000 a year. And most of the people who were prosecuted in this trial made like $35,000, $40,000 a year.
What?
And they were prosecuted because it served the immigrant community. So one of the things that was common in Chinatown and New York were cash-only businesses. Mm-hmm. So basically it was a case of underreporting income. Mm-hmm. They would apply for loans, which they could pay back, but they didn't want to get in trouble with the IRS, so they didn't report all their income. And the prosecutors looked at that and said, oh, this is exactly the kind of no income verification that got us into the financial crisis. But no, that's not it. In fact, they had a default rate on their mortgage loans that was 10 times lower than the national average.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And the kicker, the biggest irony of all, is that the reason that the attorneys, I think it was a state case, the state of New York even knew about this was because they self-reported that something had gone wrong. And this lady who was denied a loan because there was something fishy going on with the income verification, that the bank denied her a loan, went to make a police report because she lost her deposit. And so from that police report, it launched this financial investigation into her. Also, the entire financial industry is a racket. Wall Street is full of crooks and criminals. They could all be brought up on RICO charges. And yet there was one person who was brought up on a RICO charge, a low-level gang member named, I forgot his name, but it's something like, it's like D-Ball.
Okay.
Name is like Derek Ball or something like that. They call him D-Ball. That's the only guy who was brought up on charges for defrauding the banks. That's what they accused him for.
Wow.
Yeah. They're like, you applied for mortgages falsely.
Seriously?
You're going to go to jail on racketeering charges.
Racketeering.
Wow.
Meanwhile, there's this bank, HBSC, and they committed basically every single financial crime that you can possibly commit. I'm talking money laundering, supporting terrorists financially,
embezzling, all this
stuff. Embezzling, running drugs for cartels.
That's not a money crime.
They handled the money part.
Okay.
And this was in 2011, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And so...
Too many tabs.
I have too many tabs.
It's okay. I can cut all of this. It's easy.
Okay, good.
down the government.
I'll leave that
well,
in.
Whatever. Okay, so HPSC committed all of these crimes. They had a big press conference. It seemed like finally, some major player in the financial industry was going to get held accountable. And the deputy attorney general or something announces that HPSC better cooperate or they might be subject to full prosecution of the law.
Wow.
They already have the documentation. So basically, the reason that none of these banks, none of these financial guys get prosecuted is because of this policy that was developed by the former Attorney General Eric Holder before he was the Attorney General in the 1990s when he was just kind of a low-level Justice Department employee. And it is a policy called collateral consequences and is buried within this one policy memo from the Justice Department. And so this policy of collateral consequences says that when deciding whether to prosecute a corporation, you have to look at the collateral consequences and the impact that it's going to have. It's just one factor.
Right.
They said
right.
they were going to look at when deciding whether or not to prosecute. The impact on the employees and the shareholders and all that stuff. And whether or not they cooperated with the Justice Department, whether or not the corporation is like paying their attorney fees for like the people inside the corporation, whether or not they waive attorney-client privilege. So, okay, collateral consequences. Fast forward 15 years and that morphs into we have to take into account whether or not this is going to, quote, destabilize the economy. So basically you get into a situation where any bank that has committed major crimes is going to be too big to jail.
Right.
Pretty much. So the moral of the story is when you want to do crime, do it big.
Yeah, be rich.
Do it big. Do the biggest crime you can think of.
And join a bank.
Join a bank. You'll make a lot of money. You won't face any consequences or anything. Oh my God. I would like to read part of how Matt Taibbi describes this whole situation, if I can find it.
Also, graphic novel tie-in, if you want a fantastical solution to why these banks are too big to fail / jail, read Black Monday Murders, where they participate in satanic rituals that allow them to keep growing and growing and growing and not face any consequences.
I mean, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say the entire stock market operates under a satanic ritual.
Sure.
Okay.
They ring the bell and everything.
This is basically a summary of the book. This is in reference to a deliberate attempt by HSBC, the bank I mentioned before, to hide money laundering and like supporting terrorists by putting commas and periods like in between the letters of the terrorist name.
Wow.
So that you couldn't catch it on a search. This is deliberate fraud.
Yeah.
It's not anything short of that. What deserves a bigger punishment? Someone with a college education who knowingly helps a gangster or a terrorist open a bank account, or a high school dropout who falls asleep on the F train? The New America says it's the latter. It's come around to that point of view at the end of a long evolutionary process in which the rule of law has slowly been replaced by giant idiosyncratic bureaucracies that are designed to criminalize failure, poverty, and weakness on the one hand, and to immunize strength, wealth, and success on the other. So that's it.
That's what the book's
that's
about.
That's the book. Goes into a lot of that. Also, there are 2.2 million people in prison in America.
We do have one of the highest prison.
We have the highest.
Oh, the highest?
The highest.
Yeah, I keep forgetting.
We have more prisoners than North Korea. More people are in prison in the United States than were ever in gulags in Stalinist Russia.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. More people are in prison. More.
So I'm always surprised that we beat China because they'll jail someone for anything.
Yep. We sure do beat China.
Yep.
So I know it covered a lot of the banking stuff. What other topics does it cover?
Well, I'm only on chapter 2.
I know. That's all right.
But there was an interlude about a young man who was half homeless and then he became homeless, fully homeless, and he got picked up by the police for sleeping in a park past closing and taken into jail. And then he didn't make his court date because I don't think he had a calendar.
Right.
And then they put out a bench warrant on him. They finally picked him up on the bench warrant, and it turned out he had 19 other similar kinds of misdemeanors, and they had a bail on him for $1,500, which to someone who is homeless is basically like $15 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be able to make that. I mean, that is 1,500 times your yearly income if you make no money.
Right.
And just contrast that with the gross, gross
injustices. Literally making bank accounts for terrorists.
Yeah, literally making bank accounts for terrorists. I think it's probably going to be more going into the financial industry and then juxtapose that with, like, the extreme wealth inequality in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how those two things are related.
So it seems like this would be a good book to recommend to someone who wants to be angry, like, after they're educated about a concept.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's really hard to read all of these things that you may not know, like, because they're not talked about in mainstream media, and not get angry after you're done reading it.
Yeah, it's like reading this book is the same feeling of, like, yelling at the TV.
Yeah.
But, like, more so.
I can see that.
It's like a really bad horror movie where you're like, you're not supposed to do this. This
isn't smart.
Don't
split up. This never ends well. No.
Yeah. It's like a horror movie, except that
it's real life.
Actual real life.
Yes. So. And it affects other people's entire lives. Like the poor person who made $35,000 and was prosecuted for, what were they prosecuted for? The bank employees?
Fraud or something like that. Some BS.
Yeah, especially because it was in New York. $35,000 in New York is like poverty.
My God, literally every person in the financial industry commits crimes in New York. That's just what they do.
I've seen Wolf of Wall Street.
So I saw this book came out sometime in 2014.
Yeah.
How did you stumble across it?
Well, I have been a big fan of Matt Taibbi for a long time, probably since the financial crisis. He's a journalist for Rolling Stone, like I said, so I've read a lot of his stuff. And, oh, he was going to be a guest on a podcast I listened to.
It seems like a heavy read, but informative.
I don't know. Matt Taibbi is a really good writer, so even though it's a heavy subject, and I actually have to, like, stop reading it every so often because it just makes me so mad and...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Slam the book down and walk away as if the book did it.
Right.
How dare you?
But it reads really fast. Matt Taibbi is a wonderful writer. He's very funny.
You started reading it today and you're already at least a fourth of the way through. So
yeah, and then I also started listening to the audiobook, you know, for like when I can't be reading the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the audiobook narration is really good too.
Okay, so there you go. Would you have any specific people you'd want to recommend this for?
People who yell at the TV.
Okay, perfect. So if you yelled at a TV before, come on down and get your copy of Divide today at the library.
Just please don't throw the book.
Anybody who thinks the world is, you can't believe the terrible things that happen all the time, every day, but reading this book will make you realize that terrible things have always been happening.
Yeah.
You just didn't know about it.
How uplifting.
Just open your eyes and you'll realize they're probably much worse than you thought they were.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming with another nonfiction book.
Thank you for having me. I quite enjoyed it.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.